People who are at the cashiers and at the office are delegated to handle money by the person who owns the store. And so, I mean, this happens with some frequency at Amazon, and something needs to be returned or the wrong thing was sent. And they just tell me, I always call them, but they tell me from customer service, don't worry about it.
Okay, so that's their authorized thing. I don't know, but I assume so. But I don't know if every person behind the counter has that same right. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. I know I was at another store. It was owned by a Fruvian, and the lady behind the counter used to tell me, just take it for a dollar. And I went. It was a local store. I went to Baruch. He went to the owner. And the owner said, no, she has no right to do that. So Baruch asked her, please be Michael, all the people till now that have done this, because if not, they have your money. Okay, let's move on. We're learning Gemara now. We are on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis.
My question, though. The three things that
El Talibah
was allowed to lie,
Kukush, did
they couldn't lie about those?
I don't know. Good question. I assume that they did. Because the Kutzker Rebbe says, and so do the Bali Musar, emes doesn't mean what we call truth. Emes is saying what the Rebbe Nishlam wants you to say. So if the Rebbe Nishlam says that here you can be Mishana, the truth, that's the emes. Talmid HaChachamim never lied. In three cases, they could tell you differently than the truth because it wasn't a lie. That's how the Kutzker Rebbe said. So, again, he doesn't say it on that. He says that b'chlal. Mutal l'shanes medar kishalom. What does that mean? You're allowed to lie? He says, no. It's not sheker. It's in English a lie. But in Hebrew, it's emes. Because that's Ratzon Hashem to say at that time. Okay, let's move on. Now, think of my writer. We have the second line in Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. We just came up with the concept that there's three kinds of sales. There's the sale that's called Zmina Harifa, the hot item. That there, the Hana is to the buyer. It's a seller's market. Seller can get rid of it very easily. He has no pleasure from the guy who buys it because he could have sold it 50 other times. And therefore, the Hana is exclusively the buyer's. And we had a case, that was the case of Shmuel, that if you borrow, take something to test it out, you are considered a shayel. You're considered a borrower, but it's called Hana Shalai. You have all the pleasure. And the second case was the opposite, when it was something the guy couldn't get rid of. The buyer can get it anywhere. It's an item that doesn't go. Therefore, the whole hanah is the seller's. And then we had the middle case, which is the case of our Mishnah, a regular sale. Both buyer and seller have hanah from each other that he's buying from me. That's the case in the Mishnah. Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel. We have a raya to Shmuel that when a person buys something to check it out, he has a halacha of shayel. And again, we said it's talking about a zvina harifa. We said it's talking about a sale. It's something that was a hot item. Therefore, the hana is the buyer, is not the seller's. It says, alakeach kelim and atagor, l'shargum v'beis chamav. Somebody buys, second line from the top, lamed aleph amid beis. Alakeach kelim v'beis atagor, l'shargum v'beis chamav. Somebody buys kelim from a business person to sell, send them to his father-in-law, right? He's sending them to his father-in-law. And he says, if they like the present I am sending them, I'll pay you. If not, I'll pay you the amount, the Rosh explains, that they feel appreciation that I wanted to give them a gift. Meaning, even if they don't take the gift, but they feel good that I wanted to send them a gift. And that's worth brownie points. Whatever those brownie points are worth, I will pay you. Meaning, don't think that you're wasting your time by giving it to me and I might send it back to you and you got nothing out of it. You will get something out of it. Either I'll pay you the amount, or at least I'll pay you the amount, whatever, I don't know how you figure it out, that the appreciation that they have to me, because I thought they were chashuv enough to send them a Hanukkah present, that I'll pay you. Time is hung up. Dr. Rush. What? He's going to get it back. Dr. Rush. What?
Which kind of sells
it? So this is a, this must be a Zvina Harifa, which we're going to see in a second. All we're bringing a riot to Shmuel is that the guy is considered a shayel at a certain point, right? That means, why is he a shayel? Must be agreed to Shmuel. Now, we explain that that's only by Zvina Harifa when it's a hot item. So, Amaloi, right, now, Nensu, Inus happened, right? You bought something, you took it on consignment, if that's what you want to call this, and an einus happened. But it happened on the way to the father-in-law, your shayel. Now, once the father-in-law didn't accept it, so now you're going to give it back. At that point, every shayel, at the end of the days that he borrowed it, becomes a shomer sachar. Because since he's not using it anymore, he's not planning to use it anymore. So at this point, this is true by everything. I borrow your pen. I'm chayav b'einsim. The minute my time is up and I'm supposed to return it, I'm not allowed to use it anymore. I come back to you. I become from a shayel to a shomer sachar. Because now I can't use it anymore. Once I can't use it anymore, it's not kol hanoah shali. You can't say I have all the pleasure from the item. I don't. I'm not allowed to use it. Therefore, the Gemara Bava Metzias says, every shayel, but it finishes the term that he's allowed to use it, becomes a shomer sachar. This guy was on the way to give it to his father-in-law. So therefore, he was a shayel. But the minute he's on his way back, he's no longer a shayel because the reason he borrowed it was in case he needed it. Right? He took it in case he wanted, they took it. Now they didn't take it, so he's finished. He doesn't have the hanoah anymore. The hanoah is over. So now he becomes like a shomer sachar. That's the halacha. Even though the guy who sold it to him doesn't benefit at all, still the halacha is becomes a shomer sachar. So b'chazar repater. B'nei shukunai shomer sachar.
Who's paying him?
No. She's a shomer sachar because he got pleasure. He got pleasure. Therefore, he's responsible more than a guy who does that as a favor. He's not. The question is, why isn't he a shayel? The other guy is getting nothing out of it. Why? That's the question. Meaning, he should be a shayel all the way. The Maisa, you borrowed it. But the Gemara Bava Metzias says that once he can't use it, the concept of kol hanoah shali is gone. He no longer can use it. So now it's considered like he's watching it for the pleasure that he got. That's considered. He's now considered a shomer. He's no longer a shayel. Can't use it anymore. So he's considered a shomer, and he's getting paid the hanoah that he had received. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzias. So the same thing is true here. Why is that a riotish move? Because it says on the way he's a shayel. Which is what Shmuel said. We have a brisa that reaffirms Shmuel. Now, we explained that that's only true by Ezrina Harifa, where the pleasure is only one way. Zuck the rush. What? The buyer. Because it's a hot item. Ketayvus hanoah shani nana, the mechshem machzikim li taiva, they owe me a favor, so you see right to look up them. I wanted to show them honor, so they feel good. It's a good thing. Patim nesh kenaitis achar, achazarekai, going on the way back. The surai havishayo, the paska hanasa, he no longer has the pleasure. Miu, shemesakar havi v'chai b'dei v'abeda, hayavinen amana, he had pleasure. Ahu Safsira. Safsira is a middleman. Safsira is a guy who buys it, takes it, tries to sell it. If he can't sell it, he brings it back to the original guy. Similar to the case before, but as the Gemara is going to point out, slightly different. He was a, I don't know what the word he uses for Safsira.
Middleman.
What?
Middleman.
Okay.
No.
The Shakul Chamra Lizuni. He took a donkey to sell. Is it a donkey or a wine? What does he say? Chamra has two meanings always. Donkey. And he couldn't sell it. Bahadi dohadar, on the way back, isnas chamra. The animal died. Now, as a shayel, he's chayev. As a shomer sachar, he's putter. We said, on the way back, you're a shomer sachar. So he should be putter, right? Chayver of Nachman Lishlumi. So if Nachman said, he has to pay. Didn't we just say that he's putter on the way back? A middleman is different because he'll sell it at any point. Even on the way back, if he finds a buyer, he'll sell it. He never is on the way back. He might be physically on the way back, but halachically, he's never on the way back. Because what is the difference? The guy that went to take it is a father-in-law. Once the father-in-law says no, he's ready to bring it back, and he's not going to do anything on the way back. But I think this guy is willing to find a buyer to the last second. He's never on the way back. Even when he's on the way back, he's not on the way back because he's willing to sell it now. He's always on the way to find the buyer. He couldn't find one. He's on his way to give it back. But on the other hand, if he finds somebody on the way back, he'll sell it to them too. So he's always looking for buyers. It never ends. But if the guy whose father-in-law said no is finished with his deal, he has no gain on the way back. What is he gaining? He won't find his father-in-law again. He just told, his father-in-law just told him, nice day, have a nice day. So let me just finish. Even on the threshold of the house, so therefore he's never on his way back finished using it. He's always using it. He's always looking for a buyer. Therefore he's a shayel till he actually hands it back. And therefore he's chayev if the animal dies.
Why didn't Hashem respond to he's not doing this all fun. He's getting money.
Shail is more. It's Kalhan Ha'ashalai.
I understand that, but he's not paying anything back to the owner. It's not a commission deal.
No. If he doesn't sell it, he gives it back. If he sells it, he'll pay the owner the price. He bought it on consignment, like Walmart does. If they can't sell it, they give it back to the manufacturer. They never lose money on an item. That's why they're Walmart. They buy. If they can't sell it, they send it back. If you bring back a broken one, they send it back. They never lose anything. That's called consignment. That's why they do it that way. And they can do it because if not, they won't sell the item. And that's it. You know, manufacturers mask them to do everything they want so they can get into the store. What?
They're considered a
show. Go deal with them. Yeah, they're a show. Yeah. They pay what they want. You know what I mean? They don't go to Bezen. They didn't go to Rav Nachman. Dr. Ashman, Ahus Avsira, Sirsur, a person, the Kabbalah Chavitz Bekitzvah, Im Yimkur Beyaisir Hamaisir Shalai. He gets it at a certain price, and if he sells it, he gets the extra. Vim Loyim Tzakainim, Yachzer Achavitz Labolov. If he can't find buyers, gives it back. Zav the Mishnah Vaiter, Kainim Shani Nenar Arelim. A guy bans himself that he won't give pleasure to Arelim. Arelim are non-circumcised people. I don't think there's a word except non-circumcised. Mutter b'Areli Yisrael, v'asir b'mayla b'chav. Arelim, Jewish Arelim, are included, even though they're non-circumcised. And he's mutter and he's asir in Goyim that have circumcision. Because we don't call Arelim for physical Arla. We look at the fact who is referred to as Arelim. We call a guy an Arl. Today in America, I don't hear it, but my parents, whenever they referred to the guy, said that Aro, that Uru. There's once a true story. Some governor candidate came to see the Rebbe, and he was speaking, and the Rebbe turned to the guy and says, Vuk, Uru. You know, the guy feels like he's the governor candidate. And to the Rebbe, he's a regular Aro. What difference does it make who he is? Whatever jacket he's wearing, who cares? Vuk, Uru.
That means literally. Circumcised, but an
oil lathe
is also
a different. Again, let's let the Mishnah talk. If you have questions, we'll try to answer them. Okay. Now, here is an interesting rush. Zuck the rush. Again, I don't have the rush here. I had the rush in my Gemara. Is there a rush in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't have that. Muta barley Yisrael, Shemei Su'achav Machmas Mila, I believe the rush says. Am I right? Okay. This is a machloikas v'shainim. What if a guy deliberately doesn't do bris milah? A Jew that deliberately doesn't do bris milah. Is he included? Is he mutter? Is he in the heter of Arla Yisrael? Machloikas v'shainim. The Rush, and I believe the Mefarish, yes, says shemei tzu'achim machmas milah. It's only if he's an Arl, halachically, meaning he's allowed to be an Arl. He had two brothers died, because of circumcision, they suffer from hemophilia, and they can't do a bris without endangering the life of the kid. Therefore, they're putter from bris milah. So he's included, he's a mutter. How about a person that deliberately doesn't do bris milah? He is taka included in Arelim, even though he's Jewish. And the Mishnah is going to be mashma, that Jews are never called Arelim. Well, these Rishayim hold, that's only Jews that are uncircumcised for a valid reason. Those who are uncircumcised for a non-valid reason are included in Arelim, which is a very, very sharp statement. That means, even though we always refer to Jews as non-Arelim, this guy doesn't make that qualification. It's like undermining. It's not halachically undermining. But in look at things, he has a halach. In this halacha, he's treated like a guy. Other Rishayim say no. the Mishnah is telling me that we don't look at the physical at all. We don't care if he's an RO. Jews are are circumcised and Goyim are non-circumcised. Because that's just the way people talk. And that's how the Torah talks. That's what the Mishnah is going to say. That's how the Torah talks. Whereas these Rishonim are saying, it's not true. You know, making a get a bris milah is part of him being Jewish. And not giving a get a bris milah, he's halachically Jewish, his kedushin is kedushin, it's all kinyanim or kinyanim. I'm not questioning his Judaism. But it undermines some aspect of his Judaism. It's more than just he's not wearing tefillin, which is pretty bad. And he's not doing bris milah is a much sharper lack of commitment to Judaism. I'm just pointing out.
Halacha is that.
Because in the case of the Dara.
No, the halacha is that he can't have the bris milah.
No, we're talking about that's why he's okay. It's the one that deliberately doesn't do bris milah is included in Goyim. It's a very sharp statement. It's a very sharp statement because we would say, without this rush, we would hold like the other Rishonim, that the Mishnah is telling me that Aru and Mael doesn't mean circumcised and uncircumcised. It's a synonym for Jew and Goy. And it's not true. That's what these Rishonim are saying, the Rush and the Mefarish. It's not true. It's not a synonym for Jews and Goy. They're saying a deliberate Aru is considered an Aru. He's Usher. When the Mishnah says Mutar Bareli Yisrael, it doesn't mean him.
Which way? Which him?
The deliberate Aru. The one who refuses to do bris milah, not halachically valid reason.
He's considered not considered Aru.
He is considered an Aru. Again, the guy made a netter that Arelim can't have pleasure for me. Our Mishnah says he's Mutar in the non-circumcised Jews, and he's usher in the circumcised Goyim. Without the Rush and the Mefarish, you would say that means any Jew that's uncircumcised is not included in his netter because he's Jewish. And using circumcision as the factor of the netter is just a way of saying Jew and non-Jew. That's what the Mishnah sounds like. That's why you're permitted to have anah from the Israeli Yisrael, and you're usher in the Mulei of the Gehavim. Because it's not a physical thing. It's what he is, a Jew or non-Jew. The Rush and the Mefarish are saying no. There are certain Israeli Yisrael that he is usher in. Those who don't have a halachic reason. They are considered Israelim, like Goyim. Like Goyim. In Yiddish, when I was a kid, and I lived among people that Yiddish was their main language, they used to say, the women used to say, to have a bris, they used the word Yiddish him. They're going to Yiddish him. That was the word in Yiddish they used. A geitim Yiddish him. That was a way of saying bris. It's the Rush. It's the Rush. It's the Mefarish. Yes, Doctor.
Two things. Number one, just an observation. If your Hasidic story was in Baltimore, it's approved. It's consistent with what you're saying, and that almost certainly this governor was in fact.
No, it wasn't anyway. Yeah, it wasn't there. Yeah.
That's, you know, that's it. What about the Pesach table? Is a hemophiliac who is uncircumcised.
Machlek is Rishonim. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
Also,
Ayin Amud Aleph in Yavamah.
So the criteria are different in terms of Passover than in terms of the Dorm. Because
Stop. The Torah says, "Kol Aro Vayechol Bay."
Right.
An Aro cannot eat Karban Pesach. Some Rishonim learn it means even if he has halachic status of not having to do a bris, but it's a physical thing of being an Aro. That's how they learn. Other Rishonim say no, that a Meshul Akamachim is not called an Aro.
That's what I remember. But, so I'm saying that we have categories of
oral. Right, according to
some Rishonim. According to those.
Now, whether the machlokes are dependent on each other, I don't know. Okay, we're not. But.
No, but they're all countries, right?
What?
They're big countries.
We are.
You
have
to be
a perfect problem. Now, it's not such a big problem.
Right.
And there's still people out there.
The people that don't circumcise, much less so. But again, I'm not trying to. What are you trying to.
What are they considered?
What?
What are they considered?
They're Jewish.
Yeah, of course they're Jewish.
That's not the point.
So then the child is in Hilchas Nedar. Are they included in the word Arelim or not? That's what it's saying. Dr. Mishnah Vaitar. Shani Nena Lamailim. The guy says he won't give pleasure to circumcised people. Asim Arelim Yisrael. Even though they're not circumcised, but they're Jewish. And that's what it means, again, according to same Machlokes Rishonim. Umutra Bemuele Abdikachav. She'ein Arla Kuya El Lishem Abdikachav. Because the word Arla is a synonym for guy. Shenemar. He called Hagayim Arelim, though I call Beit Yisrael Arele Lev. All Gayim are Arelim, and all Beit Yisrael is Arele Lev. They unfortunately have a R over their heart. They're not listening to the Musar. But it says all Gayim are Arelim. It's not a true statement. There are Gayim that are circumcised. How could the Pasuk say call Hagayim Arelim? The answer is because Gayim are Arelim. The Ayman is a second pasuk. The Hayu a plishti aro azeh. When it's referring to Goliath, the plishti, that's an aro. An aro is a demeaning comment. When we want to call somebody in a demeaning way, we say it's an aro, right? So what it says, Hayu a plishti, why do I need the second pasuk? So the Rambam speaks out, but David didn't know if he's an aro. How did David know plishti is an aro? Maybe he was circumcised. Terence says it doesn't make a difference. The Hayah Plishti Aro Azeh. The Haymar. Pen Tismachna B'nais Plishtim. Maybe the Plishtim's daughters will be happy. Meaning, whatever will happen will make them happy. Pen Talwaisna, they will rejoice. B'nais Harelim. Now, why do I need this pasuk? Because the first pasuk would tell me that when it says Kalagayim Areli Arev is just a contrast to Jews, but not that all the Gayim are really Arelim. Second pasuk says, how did David know he wasn't born circumcised? Some kids are born circumcised. Not that Goliath had a circumcision, there would be no reason. But the answer is that maybe it's a very infrequent thing. The answer is when we refer to the Klipishtim, we call them Nice Arelim. That means it's a general statement. They're all Nice Arelim. That's why we have the third pasuk. Blessed and Azariah, period. Dr. Rush? No rush. I don't have any rush. Is there any more rush? Again, my print doesn't have these extra rushes. I wish it did. Yankee, any more rushes? No, okay. Dr. Gemara, Vaitar, Blessed and Azariah, I remember Usahi Arela. The non-circumcision.
The rush says, Mutter, the Mali of the Kachavim Kavan Arve Mahol of the Givoni Mahol.
You do have it. Can I Rabbi Mahol Givoni Mahol? Meaning, even the Arabs who do Bris Milah are considered Arelim. That's what the Mishnah is telling me. Thank you. Is there any more Rush in the Mishnah? I feel terrible. I don't have it. What? Okay, we'll get to your tone.
Also, the circumcision of Muslims is technically incomplete.
I know, but that's not what the Rush is saying. Rabbi's trying to tell me that I go to the rest. Arla is a disgusting thing. She is Ganaba Rishoim. When we want to demean somebody, we call him an Aro. Shadamik Yigal Agayim Arelim. Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, Gdaila Mila, Shenichnus Arla Shleish Asabrisis. In the Parsha of Mila by Avraham Avinu, it says the word Bris 13 times. That in the Brisi, if you look at the Pesukim, 13 times the word Bris is mentioned when Hashem tells him to do Bris Mila. Obviously, it's a covenant. 13 times that covenant is repeated. So that's where the rush is. What does he say? Right, the Parshas Mila says Avraham Avinu. Okay, it says verse 13 times. Rabbi Yitzchak Megdaila Mila Shadaychas HaShabbos HaChamura. It's Daicha Shabbos. Shabbos is very severe. The Cheskila. Yep, Mila is Daicha. Rabbi Shua ben Karchaimer, Dai Lamila, Shloi Nitno Lamaisha Tzadik Alea, Afilu Malisha. Maisha wasn't given a reprieve, and the Gemara is going to explain the story, even for an hour. He was immediately going to be punished for not doing a Bris Mila. We'll see the story in the Gemara. Rabbi Chaim Yaimek Dai Lamila, Shadaycha Sanagoyim. You're allowed to cut off a Nega. Now the Mepharshim ask, it's the bigger thing to say Dveicha Shabbos. Once it says Dveicha Shabbos, which is a skila, So Daichas and Agam, which cutting it off is a lav, is such a chiddush. So they say the difference is Shabbos is only a meal of bismana on the eighth day. Negoyim is even a meal of shleib bismana. Even a meal on the tenth day can cut off negoyim. So therefore, it's saying meal is so big that even if it's not on the right time, it's daichas negoyim. Rabbi Yaimer gedayla meal shekol mitzvah shasa Avraham Avinu lenikra shalem. Hashem did not call him complete tamim. Till Achad Moshe, and Emma Salik Lufanai, the Yay Tamim, be complete. Mila was the completing part of Avraham Avinu. The Rachar, Daila Mila, Shilu Malahi. If not of the mitzvah of Mila, Lebarak Hashbarak Selamai. Hashem would not have created the world. Shanemar, Kayam Hashem. In Liberisi, if not for my breath, which we are now learning is going on, Mila, Yayma Malayla, Chukashmai Varet Leisanti. Day and night, and the rules of the sky and the earth I never would have made. So Mila is so big that it's like this. In the Ein Yaakov, has an extra girsa, but we're not going to go into that. It's not in our Gemara. Yes. We were quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyah, a patu psuk in Shmuel. One in Shmuel Aleph, one in Shmuel Beis. The three psukim being quoted.
In prison, Goy is a continuum of Arul.
He's still an Arul. Still an Arul. It's a demeaning thing. He's an Arul.
No, I'm saying, a person.
He's a nice Arul.
No, a person. I'm saying the Dorf is when a person talks, right? If he's saying in one line, he's saying he's a
Hasidic
Musarol, right? He's saying a beautiful thing about the guy, right?
He's a beautiful
Arul. Beautiful.
Again, what can I tell you? I'll leave it at that. I'm being recorded, you know what I mean? I have to watch myself.
Last thing is this is the
Rabbi. I think so. I think it's Rabbi's second. Something about my
turn.
I guess that's one of the things you can learn from this Mishnah. If Rabbi's having trouble with the Mishnah, I will try to answer you later when I'm not on recording. Tanya. See, again. Okay, I'm just leaving it. Tanya. Instead of putting my foot in my mouth, I will just leave it alone. Tanya Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Aymer. Daila Mila, Shakol Schuya Shasta Maisha Rabbeinu, Vayamda Laikish Yisrasha Ben Amila. All the schusim that Maisha Rabbeinu had didn't help him when he was lax in the midst of Mila. And please inform me when I skip a rush, because again, it's not the Mason, it's B'shagig, I don't have them. Shinema. Okay, now let me say the story outside. And then we'll read it in the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu had a baby. Hashem Yisbarak told him, go back to Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem here. I have to do Bris Milah on day 8. If I stay, I'm not listening to Hashem. He told me to go back. If I go back, I do Bris Milah now. It was already day 8. I'm putting the kid in danger. Traveling with a newly circumcised baby is dangerous. So what should I do? So he didn't do Bris Milah because he had a chiyuv to go back. And he couldn't put his kid into danger. So he delayed Bris Milah. He arrived at an inn that was close to Mitzrayim. And at that point, travel would no longer be dangerous. He was finished his travels. At that moment, he should have done Bris Milah. And he took care of being Masader, his stuff, in the inn before he did Bris Milah. He should have done Bris Milah the instant he arrived. He put away, it doesn't say what he put away, but he took care of the needs of staying there. He unpacked his car, his donkey. He unpacked, he delayed the Bris Milah. Right away, he was almost killed. Or the baby was almost killed, it's a machloikas, we'll see in a minute. Somebody was going to be punished right away for not having Bris Milah. Okay, you'll tell me, thank you, what are they? I'll give you that source of reading them, but I don't have them. You have to speak up, because they have to hear you on the phone. Rebbe Lazar de if I remember now from my prayer, we learned it out of the way. Next rush. Imo, Imo, Afila, Afila what? Fine. So the Rashi is bringing down, and we learn it out of the pasuk Imo, Imo, even though it's a Beheret, even though it's a lav, it says Yishama Benega Taras, which is a lav of cutting off a nega.
You're not
over. You're not over. It's called Asa Deicha Lo Yisasa. The Gemara in Rav Elazar de Mila calls this an Asa Deicha Lo Yisasa.
Why did Moshe take
Sephora's
children?
I don't understand what you're asking me.
Why did Moshe not go alone?
Why should he go alone? He's taking his family. They're moving to Mitzrayim.
They're moving to Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
He has a mitzvah of taking out Bnei Israel from Mitzrayim.
Again, he's going to take out Bnei Israel from Mitzrayim. He's going to travel with his family. So what you're asking is let him make a solution. I won't take my family, that way I can travel right away. I can do the bris milah and leave. Why did I have to take his family along and it's dangerous for the kid? Good question, I don't have a good answer.
How's it dangerous for the kid?
Obviously it was, because it was after 8 days.
The first day they traveled?
They didn't, come on. He said, I can't do bris milah now because it's dangerous. Why didn't he say, I can't do bris milah now because it's not 8 days? Again. Let's see the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara will say not like that. But the first question is a good question. I don't know the answer to that. So the Gemara, Hashem v'yivakasher Hashem v'yivakasher Hamitzah. Hashem met him, whatever that means, and he wanted to kill him. Amar Rabbi Gimel, Amar Rabbi Yaisi, Chas v'shalom Shemaish Rabbeinu Nisashum Namila. Maish Rabbeinu did not deliberately delay Mila. Elakach Amar, Emo v'yaitzeh, should I do bris Mila before I leave? Which means, which day is it? It has to be day's day. That's why the pirate is not an issue. Sakali, that is dangerous. Shows you that traveling with a freshly nimo kid is dangerous. Now, it says it by the third day, but it assumes that traveling right after Mila, which is first day, second day, third day, is dangerous. Emo v'esha, shleshi yavim. So I do bris milah and wait 3 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lei Shuv Mitzrayim. Hashem told me to go back. So why was Moshe punished? Mishnah is asig b'mola and tchila. Because he took care of his needs of the arrangements of his inn first. Shenemar v'hi baderach b'moloin. Zok to Rosh. To me, it's the next Rosh. It's just asig b'moloin. Zok to Rashi. But Rosh is bothered, but he still wasn't in Mitzrayim. So he still had to travel. So it was out of danger already. At this point, the rest of the distance to Mitzrayim would have been non-dangerous. He was already in the suburbs of Mitzrayim, in the area next to Mitzrayim. It wasn't dangerous anymore.
Dangerous for the kid.
I said he was out of the danger of the kid. I mean, he could do bris milah now and travel to Mitzrayim without putting the kid's life in danger. No, the distance. When he was traveling from Midian, it was a travel of 5 days. I just made that up. It puts the kid in danger. But when you're traveling a half an hour, it's not dangerous. I made up the amounts of time. But the Rosh said he was close enough that the travel would not have been dangerous.
It started 5 days ago, right?
But now he arrived at the inn. The Rosh is bothered. No, no, no. Why should he do bris milah now? He still has to go further.
How do you know it's not like the doctor said something very good. He said, it's not that the area is causing the...
It's the travel.
You could be cooperative. What's it called?
Again, he is stopped at an inn.
All the days. Cause it.
Cumulative,
right.
Cumulative. So what is the question?
So
let's go through it again. He traveled 5 days. He did not do bris milah because Moshe Rabbeinu knew on his own, he didn't need doctor to tell him, that it's dangerous to travel with a freshly nimol kid.
Fine.
He arrived at the inn. He's now going to stay at the inn for a little bit before he moves to the next step. Right? Now, so the Gemara, he should have done bris milah there. How could he? He's going to have to travel another day to get to Mitzrayim. another 6 hours to get to Mitzrayim. He's still putting the kid in danger. So how can he make the Bris Milah now? The answer is because he's only going to have to travel 6 hours. And after being in the inn, traveling 6 hours is not going to hurt the baby. After stopping and then traveling. Now, you ask me a question, how can he stop at the inn? He should go straight. There's a Tiva V'Meshev. That I don't know the answer to. How,
it's
why
normal.
He stopped?
You have to be normal. You got tired. You got to, you know.
Should I ever speak to you?
Anyway, I hope you don't say Hashem spoke to you because somebody once told the Chazanish, somebody once told somebody, I forgot Ben Gadol, Hashem spoke to him. You know, these are the people they call the people in the white jackets for, who are the people that Hashem speaks to. What? I understand, but that, I meant it. That's not what he meant.
So you didn't have to stand him alone at all?
That's my Kasha.
Right, that's what you just said, right?
I don't know. Obviously, Dr. Harris said he had to stop.
Isn't that what the Gemara's timing?
No. The Gemara's timing is that he took care of the needs of the inn right away. Instead of doing, he arrived at the inn at 10 a.m. Instead of doing the meal at 10:01, he unpacked his donkey and put it in the closet and then did meal.
How do you know that?
Again, those words. Doesn't say because he stopped.
Maybe that's what he meant.
Not what it said.
That's what
he
meant. That's the bearish, right? He was there from alone. He was Masasek from alone.
Yeah, this
is what
he means, right?
Right. Masasek doesn't mean. Dr. Rush, the car can't drive, Dr. Rush. If there's any more rushes, please let me know. Shinema, Bahima Derek Bamalan. Shemigamilayma Loilamash Rabbeinu Bigasat Maharik. The Maloch, whoever it was, we call him the Sutton. It wasn't him that Sutton tried to kill. Eloisit Kinnick. They were gonna the kid was gonna get killed. It was the kid because he was a Nemo that Hashem was gonna punish Moshe by taking his kid. Shinema, Ki Hassan Dome Matoli. Tzipora said she took a knife, a rock, and she did Bris Milah. And she said, you are Chasan Damim, which I don't know how to translate in English. You are the groom of blood. That would be this. Now, who is called a Chasan at the Bris? The father or the kid? The kid is engaging, is in building a relationship with the Rabbi Nishlela. The Bris on a kid is connecting the kid to the Rabbi Nishlela. It's a chasana. They're becoming related. We become related through a chasana. They're marrying. A first kid that gets a bris, this is not my lashon. This is Rishaynim's lashon. Take a look at the Rush, I believe. Havayim is atinik, shemachasnin oisa b'mitzvah Rishaynim. We are creating a bond, a marriage, through this first mitzvah he's getting done. So it's not stressing the aspect of bris, it's aspect of the first mitzvah. So who's the chasan at the bris? The kid. And it says, ki chasan damim atali. The chasan's getting damim, there's going to be blood here. So Rav Shimon Gamliel learns that the danger was not on Maisha, which is the way the Tanakhama learns, but the danger was on the kid. Again, as a punishment to Maisha. Kid doesn't get punished. It's a punishment to Maisha, and that he's going to get punished. So therefore, we see how important Mila is. My Rabbeinu delayed it, and somebody was going to die. And Sapira saved it by doing the bris. She went and did the bris. She batikwes as arlos bina, and she did the bris and saved the kid. Or saved my child. Whatever child you want to learn. Nothing my mind and darshim, you my business, besosh and esratzu, my Rabbeinu min Mila. When Moshe Rabbeinu delayed from the Mila, was Nisrashu was a lashon of
tardy.
Thank you. Bo af v'chema balu, af and chema, which are mazikin, right? They are we call them malachim, angels of destruction. Af and chema. I'm sure Archko has two words for af and chema. They both mean anger. No, he doesn't.
Anger and wrath.
Okay, it's the same thing. It's in the Theosaurus. Ubalu, and they swallowed him up. Moshe Rabbeinu, b'leshayru mimena al-raglov, and they only left over his feet. That's how Tzipora knew it was about Mila. Because Raglav here does not mean feet. It means the place of Mila. We find that throughout Sukkim, that when they were referred to the private area, they sometimes call it Raglav. We find it by Tziva, when he came to David, Shmuel says Raglav Vayasa. He didn't fix himself with talking about the Makam Amila.
Two groups
of, I don't know how they did it together. You'll have to talk to the angels. I don't know these things. I have no idea. Honestly, don't know. But So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to dispose of Af and Chema. Get rid of them. Hashem told him, leave Af and leave alone Chema. That's what I think the words mean. Talk to Rashbam. I'm the Rosh. Shenema Harif Me'af Vazoyv Chema. Alma Sharatu Lahargam. Ocean Itzabi was commanded the harpish out of them, to leave them alone. The Yeshayman, and some say, Aleph Bach, Hargel Chema. He killed Chema. Shenema Chema Eli. Hashem said, I don't have Chema anymore. Chema's gone. Moshe Rabbeinu took care of it. So, I don't know what that means, honestly. Beyond my pay grade, Af Chema, he killed Chema, he left Af. I don't know. Now, this is a source that you get a bracha after Mila from people of the Bali Bris. We have a minute to go to a Sandik, which is the real Bali Bris. And the reason for that is, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu, right after he did the Bris, is killing Af Chema. He just was getting punished for being tardy. And the second later, he's in the driver's seat. Then he wants to kill Af Chema, and the Rabbi Yisrael says, no, leave them alone. You see the power of the Mitzvah Bris. See the power. I don't know why we don't do that. We got a bracha from the Sandik. But I don't know. It's a good question. But you know, this is true by everything. Why do we say Harachmas after benching? Benching ends at Baal Yechasreinu. And we have a whole list of Harachmas. Why? Because we just did a mitzvah, so it's a time to ask Hashem for things. We now have a schus that we just did, the time for tefillah. That's why we say Harachmas after benching. It's really not part of benching at all. It's tefillah we say because we just did a mitzvah. Why does a woman daven by Hadlakas Haneris? She lights her Shabbat candles and she davens them. Why is she davening them? Because she just did a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, you have the ability to daven any mitzvah. Except by someone's we see it b'chush, and someone's you have to remember it. I just did a mitzvah, I can daven to the Rebbe Yisrael. That's what you see here. Yes?
Okay, I was thinking, he was even better, Rashi on Yetzirah Mitzrayim, since they threatened, well, I wasn't, I did mitzvah. And that is the mitzvah, the threat of the mitzvah.
Right, could be. Be my Zema. Frank to Gemara. Frank to Gemara. V'chsivki yigarti me'af ha'chema. How can you say he killed Chema? Aye, it says I'm afraid of Av ha'chema. But the Gemara trained Chema. There were two Chemas, he killed one, one remained. So then it's fair why it says Chema only. So you have to say Hashem meant I don't have one of the Chemas. Frank to Gemara. People say Gunda the Chema. Others say the Chema was gone, but the Chema's army still remained. There was still the terrorists from the Chema, not the general of the Chema, killed the leadership. He didn't kill the Gunda. Talk to us. That's what it says.
And Moshe is allowed to kill.
Well, he did.
I know he did, but.
Well, it's too shot them to Gemara. Hashem told him not. I mean, Moshe had the ability to kill them. That should be your question. The answer is he did. Moshe Rabbeinu could kill a Malach. Yes. And so can you. When you do tshuva, when a guy does an aveira, he creates a malach, a bad malach. And when he does tshuva, he kills him.
Is there a new malach?
That's a different story, but he kills the first one. Well, it's gone. That's what tshuva does.
That's a mitzvah.
What? Tshuva erases the Avera. Akira Saratz and Kakira Samaisa. That's what Tshuva does. So if you do tshuva, you kill the malach. See, especially because in the Svarim it says that the Gehenna of a person is that the malachim he created beat him till they beat themselves into pulp. That's the Gehenna. That the person's own maveris come back to punish him in the form of the malachim he created. Therefore, if he did a maveris was gishmak and he enjoyed it, he got himself a fat, strong malach, a Mike Tyson malach, and that malach standing there and beating him, Hashem, Hashem Yerachim. If he did an Aveira, like, haphazardly, he didn't want to do it, public pressure, so that malach stands there like, you know, one of these old guys that needs an old age home. So in that, malach can't beat him so hard. That's the Aveira. The same thing is true in Schar, by the way. The mitzvahs he created, the malach, give him the Schar. So if he makes mitzvahs with a geschmack, with the right way, he gets himself mitzvahs that are beautiful. And if not, he gets these old-fashioned mitzvahs that, you know, he did a davening, he did the rabbinism a favor, he davened. You know, the guy looks like the guy that did the rabbinism a favor.
I didn't mean that. I meant the chemo was a mouth that was already there. Moshe did not create
the chemo. That's it, but he created, he killed a mouth that was there, and you create a mouth that you created. That's how you kill a mouth that you created.
He destroyed...
He killed the malach. That's what the Gemara.
He killed his own malach.
No.
There was a chemo in the world,
and he killed
two afterwards.
Yes, and he.
So wasn't there a necessity? I mean, you couldn't kill a malach.
That got Gabriel. You'll have to ask upstairs for that one. Yes.